It is so good to be a part of this wonderful family, and I could not ask for better people to work with. And I do work closely with Dr. V. Hill and with Dr. Arnett and with Pastor Alan Baker, with those that work in my office, Barbara Touchstone and Jeannie Kelly, and all those that work on the wing that I'm on and work across campus. I just could not ask for better people to work with. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for our faculty and our staff who just give of themselves day after day after day. What a blessing it is to be a part of this family, and indeed my wife and I both feel like we're part of a great family. And to some of you, I'm like an uncle. To some of you, I'm like a teacher. To some of you, a few of you, like James Keithley, who still calls me pastor, because I was the only pastor he ever knew from the time he was born until he came to school here, just about maybe one little short time when he had another pastor. But some of you call me pastor. Some of you don't know what to call me because you see me and, like, you freeze right then. I am not the... I am not the person with the chapel attendance book. I'll just tell you that. I'm not that person, so that's Brother Baker. And then every time I see someone like Victoria's mother, who was here yesterday, my inside switch, and I just start wanting to talk in the Filipino language that I know, in Tagalog. I'm going to go out there on the 19th of this month to preach the General Council for the Philippine Assemblies, And so I'm translating my sermons, and I'm, you know, thinking I won't preach in the Filipino language, not in the straight language, but I'll give some illustrations, tell some jokes and things. So then when I see, like, Therese Chu was on campus yesterday, I really know more of her language than she does, but I mean of her family native language than she does, but It's just a blessing. So what I thought I'd do is just read my scripture this morning in the Tagalog language. If that's all right, would you put it up? Put it up. This is Romans 8, 37 to 39. But if you were speaking, in the language of heaven, Spanish, it's sort of like Spanish. Here's what it would sound like. I'll just read it. I mean, you may not catch anything from it, but you can read it up there. I mean, I'll read exactly what's on the screen, only in the Tagalog language. It says, "Hindi sa lahat ng mga ito, tayo'y siguradong magtatagumpay sa pagpapagitan niya na nagmamahal sa atin. Sapagkat natitiyak kong walang makapaghihiwalay sa atin sa kanyang pag-ibig. Kahit ang kamatayan, ang buhay, ang mga anghel, ang mga pamunuan o ang mga kapangyarihan, ang katulukuyan o ang hinaharap, ang kataasan, ang kalaliman o alilmang nilalang ay hindi makapaghihiwalay sa atin sa pag-ibig ng Diyos na ipinagkaloob sa atin sa pamamagitan ni Kristo Jesus na ating Panginoon." That's what it said. No, you don't have to clap for me. Now, the reason I read it in that language is because every time you read the scripture outside of your normal translation, you pick up something. And so in preparation for this message this morning, I've also found a couple of obscure translations in English. One obscure translation, I don't remember exactly what this is called, what translation it's called, but it says this: "You can think of every terrifying thing that this or any other world can produce. Not one of them is able to separate the Christian from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, Lord of every terror and master of every world." Now here's another: "For I am certain that nothing is able to take us away from his loving us. It makes no difference whether we die or whether we live. Angels, rulers, powers in heaven are not able to separate us from his love, and what is happening now or what will happen in the future will not be able to separate us from his love." This is one powerful passage. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I'm going to talk about this message, tenacious love. Actually, I started a couple of weeks ago. I'll finish it today from this passage in Romans, continuing in this year-long talk about simple love, and especially highlighting in these last few messages the love of God for us. Verse 35 asks this question: can adversities separate me from the love of God? And of course, the answer is no. No adversity, no trauma, no physical stress, no attack on me as a person can separate me from the love of God, verse 37, because I am a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And then verses 38 and 39 ask this question: can any human or superhuman power separate me from the love of God? And Paul comes back and says, there's nothing in the spiritual world. There's nothing in all of space. There's nothing in time. There's nothing in the universe that can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord. But we are in a unique time. Every one of you in this room has seen some portion of at least one of the Harry Potter movies. The writer of the Harry Potter books has become a multi-billionaire because she was just a housewife who had an idea about a fantasy book, began to write, and all of a sudden this proliferation of books about psychic phenomena began to come out of her, but in a way that it was so innocent that nearly every mom and dad in the country took their kids to see the movies, and they bought the books by the millions, worldwide by the billions. You see, we're living in a time when people believe in psychic phenomena. In fact, there's such a deluge of it. Started maybe with movies way back there, really cemented with the Empire Strikes Back trilogy and Star Trek on the television, and then the Star Trek movies. All the things that can happen out there somewhere with powers that are greater than our power. So we're bombarded with movies and with books, all that concern stuff going on in a nether world, in a spiritual world that we can't see and we don't really know about. And yet somehow we're sucked into believing it. At the same time, George Barna, who's a church statistician, I mean, he really knows more about what's going on in the church. Admittedly, if you read Barna's stuff, Barna has a negative side to him. If you've ever been to a conference and heard him speak, you would agree. He comes across kind of down. But maybe that's because he's collected so many statistics from Christians. And here's what he says. 62% of the people in America do not believe that Satan is a living being. The same survey concluded that 52% of Christians who claim to be born again deny the existence of Satan. And he found out that 3 out of 4 Catholics also deny the existence of a real devil. 60% of Americans, according to Barna's survey, believe that the Holy Spirit does not exist as a living entity. 55% of born-again Christians also believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist as an entity, a living entity. Here's another one. 84% of all Christians say they embrace the 84% of all Americans say they embrace the Christian faith. But that does not mean they have a biblical worldview. They don't see God. They don't see Jesus. They don't see the Holy Spirit. And for sure they don't see Satan, the enemy of our souls, as real. I think we've been sold a bill of goods that has led us to believe that the horoscope can help us. but the Holy Spirit cannot. We somehow believe that the psychic network can help answer our problems, but the prayer chain cannot. We somehow believe that the stars control events, but that the bright and morning star cannot. We somehow have come to believe in angels, some kind of angels, but not in the captain of the Lord's host. We believe in spirits, but not the Spirit of God. We believe in psychic phenomena, but not in the miracles of the Bible. It's time to get back to the truth. It's time to get back to the truth. In this passage that I read to you and that you read off the screen, the things cited in our text after the mention of life and death, all of these things have to do with powers, astrological powers, heavenly powers, powers beyond us. So let's do a careful study of each of them with this question in mind. Can any of these powers separate me from the love of God? If you'll just ask that question with each of these things, can any of these powers separate me from the love of God? First of all, angels are mentioned. Now, God's angels are created beings that are immortal. They are innumerable, and often they are invisible. They are created by God, holy, wise, and powerful, and yet humble. They operate in a spirit of meekness. They are obedient to God, but obviously they're able to sin, because some have. They serve God, they serve the church, they serve believers. God has somehow established an order of angels that serve us in various ways and at various times. In ministry, for those who are in ministry, they guide, they provide for, they protect, they deliver, they lead, they comfort, they minister to believers. Toward unbelievers, I believe that angels have the power to destroy, to curse, to persecute, and even kill. At every major event in the Bible, angels have been somewhere around. So Abraham met an angel. Hagar met an angel. Lot met an angel. Jacob met angels. Moses had angels around. Balaam met an angel. Joshua met an angel, the captain of the Lord's host. Gideon met an angel. Manoah met an angel. David had angels around. Elijah had an angel feed him. Daniel met angels. Zechariah met angels. The Virgin Mary met an angel. Joseph was confronted by an angel. The shepherds were talked to by angels. Mary Magdalene met an angel in the garden. The apostles were guided by angels. Peter, Philip, Cornelius, Paul, and John all had angelic encounters. You see, they're all through the Bible. Now, since I believe that the book of Acts doesn't end with chapter 28 as the final chapter of the church's history, the church history is still being written, I still believe that God sends his angels to help believers in the ministry calling that God has given them. There have been times in my life when the only explanation for what happened was an angel. The Bible is also clear that there are fallen angels. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, that Satan fell because of his pride. Jesus spoke of hell as a place prepared for Satan and his angels, that is, godly angels that fell because of disobedience to God. Here's the key thing to remember about angels. Galatians 1:8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. The true work of angels is to bring us to God. Any angelic work that does not bring us to God through Jesus Christ is to be rejected. Hear me now. Anything supposedly attributed to an angel that does not glorify God through Jesus Christ is to be rejected. And no act of any angel can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, what about heavenly rulers? Satan is variously called in Scripture by these names: the accuser, the adversary, the angel of the abyss, the devil, the god of this age, the prince of demons, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the prince of this world, the ruler of darkness, the serpent, the tempter, the evil one. If we see Satan as a ruler, the question is, what does he rule over? Let me bring to mind three areas that Satan rules over. Number one, Satan rules over attitudes that prevail in our society in the minds of unregenerated men and women. The Harry Potter books. Millions of copies. The Da Vinci Code. Millions of copies in hundreds of different forms and languages. It is amazing how thoughts that come from Satan himself can permeate our society. Secondly, I think that Satan, the enemy of our soul, rules over the spiritual atmosphere that prevails in society. The doubt that is in the minds of so many Christians about the true existence of the Holy Spirit, I know where that came from. The doubt about divine healing happening in the church today, I know where that came from. The doubt about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine, I know where that came from. The doubt about the truth about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, I know where that came from. You see, it is the enemy of our souls that sows discord by creating doubt in the minds of believers. I also think Satan rules over the moral climate of our society because he works through unregenerate people. It's hard to look at somebody like Lindsay Lohan and just have pity. But what a pity. Or Britney Spears, raised in a wonderful Southern Baptist home, who has left her moorings, nearly lost her life. What a pity. And yet we don't often look at people like that and think, what a shame, all that wasted talent. How many more so-called stars are going to have to die at age 26 or 28 or 32 from drug overdose, or like Elvis the King, age 42, ending their lives abruptly and shortly just because their minds have been so filled with the moral decadence of this society that they can't see straight any longer. They don't have a concept of right and wrong anymore, and their lives are wasted. But the answer is, even though Satan rules over as the prince in the power of the air, can he separate me from the love of God? And Romans chapter 8 says, no, not even the devil from hell can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? With all of his powers, he doesn't have the power to pluck me out of God's hand. Then it mentions heavenly powers. If Satan is the prince of demons, there must be demons. Or he's the prince of nothing. If he's the ruler of the kingdom of the air, there must be members of that kingdom who are able to carry out the bidding of Satan. Can these demons separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Now, I will tell you, students, I have met Spirit-filled, I won't say what denomination they were in, but Spirit-filled ministers of the gospel who don't believe in demons, in the current work of demons. You know why they don't? Because they've never been outside the cocoon of the church far enough to run into them. But when you get out there in society, when you get out there with real people, with real problems, you'll face powers that are so great, the only way to describe it is it's the power of the enemy in a form. The power of the enemy takes a form, and you end up facing that form. Are there demons? Yes. How do I know? Because Jesus made a habit of casting out demons. You think he's being foolish? You think he's making up something? I don't think so. I think he ran into people who had evil spirits occupying their bodies, and he delivered them from those evil spirits. Since I don't believe the book of Acts The Acts of the Apostles stops at the period at the end of chapter 28 that the church age still continues. I think we're facing the same thing. Doris and I have been in meetings a number of times where someone who was controlled by Satan through demons manifested himself or herself and needed deliverance, and we've had to stop and deliver the person right then, right there, by the power of God. It still happens. You will meet people in your ministry that the only explanation for the way they act is that they're demonically controlled. Now, let me tell you something. This is not in my notes, but I'm going to share it with you. Go ahead and put the other two things up there for the people that are writing. This is not in my notes, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. I firmly believe with all my heart, from my study of Scripture, I firmly believe there is no way under heaven for a born-again believer who's living in the grace of Jesus Christ to be demon-possessed. Now, does that mean that a Christian can't have a stronghold working in his or her life? A stronghold is this. There could be an area where you give over control of that part, even for a short time, to the enemy. Your flesh has a weakness, and you let Satan, for a while, you don't even think you're letting Satan, you just think you're giving in to a fleshly desire, but you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you finally get to a place where there is a stronghold in your life in that area that you can't quit without godly help, without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's a stronghold. A stronghold is an inclination or a desire, something in the flesh that you give over control of until it controls you. That can be broken by the power of the Lord, but that's not necessarily a demon. That's the operation of your flesh to a point where Satan takes over, controls. But if you're a born-again Christian, you cannot be possessed, because no person can serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other, hate the one, love the other. That's what the Bible says. You cannot serve God and mammon. I believe the Lord makes it so clear. But I'm telling you, the enemy will chase you as a Christian. The enemy will oppress you as a Christian. The enemy will attack you as a Christian. The enemy will use your weaknesses and your failures to push you down, to get you down. You just need to know nothing that any demon can do under heaven can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, what about the present, the future, or any of creation? I sort of wish at times that I had a crystal ball, because I would like to predict what will happen. I'd like to tell you ahead of time what will occur. I'd like to tell some of you how long you'd live, because some of you are going to live to a ripe old age. Obviously, in a group this large, some won't live to a ripe old age. Wouldn't it be neat to know ahead of time if you're going to live to be 90 or 29, be neat to know. I wouldn't even bother me, really, if I could know when I was going to die. Wouldn't that, you know, sort of be neat to know? You just come right up to it. You live up those last few days, eat everything you want that you hadn't been eating because you've been dieting all your life, and oh, wouldn't this be neat to have this crystal ball so that I could tell you who you were going to marry? I could just have a service over in my office, the crystal ball marriage service. Come in, I'll show you in my crystal ball the right person for you. Doesn't work that way. Wouldn't you just like to know what else your future holds? I don't know. When Doris and I married many years ago, had we known some things then that we know now, we would have been so smart. Looking back on it, we can see how God's guided every step of the way and why some things have happened that hurt us so much at the time but turned out for our good in the long run, and how all of our steps were ordered until we were right here, right now, and how everything just seems to have fallen into place to bring that about. But in the meantime, while it was happening, we didn't know any of it. Some days, all we knew was trust God that day. Just put one foot in front of the other and trust God that day. And that's all we knew to do. Although we couldn't predict the future, we did know this. We had faith in the God who held the future. Our God is bigger than you or I could think or imagine. And He's got everything in His hand. The heavens. Do you realize we're part of the Milky Way? Milky Way is about 100,000 light years across. It's kind of a oval shaped. This galaxy that we're part of, there are thousands and thousands of other galaxies out there. This one that we're a part of. Did you know that the Milky Way galaxy, if it were on a football field of sand, if all of the galaxies could be represented by a football field, 300 feet long, 100 yards long, 50 yards wide, the Milky Way would be represented on that football field by one grain of sand. That's our galaxy. It's how small we are in the bigger scheme of things. And just think how far it is just to the sun in our galaxy, much less to the other side of it. And our God created that? And He's bigger? Whoa! Our all-powerful, all-powerful, all-knowing God loves us. And nothing present nor future under the earth or above the earth can separate us from His love, which is given us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that amazing? If we remain in Him, nothing can take us out of His hand. Can you grasp that? Can you just get a hold of that a little bit? Can it become something that you want to study more? How secure am I? I am not saying that if you go out and blow it, that if you sin, I'm not saying that if you pull yourself out of God's hand that you're safe and secure with some kind of security that is not, in my opinion, is not biblical. But if you just rest in God's hand through every situation, every trial, everything that comes your way, there is a security there. And with that security comes a confidence. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if I were rewriting this list today, I would put some different things. You can almost guess what one word that starts with a C that I might put in this list, mentioned by Dr. V. Hill a little earlier. I won't talk about it. You can guess that your neighbor sitting beside you is facing his or her own set of dilemma, problems. But you can say to your neighbor, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Will you allow your neighbor to say that to you? In what you're currently walking through, that you don't understand, that right now you can't make sense out of it, do you really believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God while you're walking through that? I do. My experience has led me to believe God will keep me. God will keep you. Seniors, God will keep you through the decision process of where to go, where to begin your ministry, what to do with your school bill, how to take care of it, what to do about marriage and children coming and all that sort of thing that'll be a part of your future. God will lead you. Trust in Him. Juniors, God will lead you. Next year is going to be a great year at CBC. I don't know how everything's going to play out or come down, but we're going to do our best to make it a great year. God will help us. Sophomores, how will it all work? I don't know. I just have to trust God. Can you and I just make a pact together? We'll trust God together because there's so many things we don't know about tomorrow. And yet this passage says, there's not anything that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Can we walk together? Freshmen who will be sophomores next year, can we just walk together? Because if we'll lock arms, and if when Dr. V. Hill gets just a little discouraged, if I can have an arm lock in his arm and say, come on, Dr. V. Hill, I've got faith to get us through today. And then tomorrow when I'm a little down and he can grab me by the arm and say, come on, Prez, I know you're down today, but I'm up today. Let's walk it together. That's how we're going to make it as believers. That's why we belong to this great body of Christ, because we encourage one another with the word of faith. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. If you feel beset by the enemy of our souls, the devil, in some area, in some way, if you're under some kind of attack, would you just stand to your feet right now? Feel free to. I'm not going to hurt you, do anything to you. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm just under an attack. Stand up. God bless you and you. If you're afraid of tomorrow, you can't see very far. Everything looks cloudy right now, and the future's kind of dim and doesn't make sense. And it's caused you to fear inside. Would you stand up? I just don't know about tomorrow. It's kind of a fear down deep inside. I'm standing with you on that. I'm right here with you. I know I was standing already, but I stood up again when I just said that. You didn't see it, but I did. If any of the other things that I mentioned here spoke to you today, and you'd like to stand up with this group that's standing as if to say, you know, I'm walking through these things I don't understand, that I'm afraid are going to take me out of God's love. Would you just like to stand with us? Anybody else like to stand with this group to just say, you know, I identify with that. I identify with that. I want you just to begin to pray for one another. You're some of the greatest prayer warriors I know. I trust you. I would trust you. In fact, I did a couple of weeks ago. I was not feeling well. I came right down here to the altar during senior chapel and got prayed over by one of the seniors. It doesn't matter which one of you pray for me. I just trust all of you to pray. I just want you to start to pray for one another. Some of you feel led to. Some of you are seated who have the victory and aren't scared of anything. You need to stand up and start praying for us. The rest of us need your help right now. If you'll just do that, you great people of faith, get on your feet and start praying for us. We need you. But would you just begin to walk around and pray for people and just let yourself be prayed for and then pray for someone else? Just let's end this chapel today with this great roar of prayer going up. And you can leave when you get ready, but don't be quick. God may speak to you. God bless you today.